Welcome to Rooting For You, a seasonal gardening podcast for non-experts. I'm Tess, and I know nothing.
And I'm Elise, and I know some things.
Each week, we'll chat about one gardening topic, and then discuss the effort-reward payoff by asking, is the juice worth the squeeze? Just a heads up, there might be a bit of swearing in this episode. You've been warned. Today, we are doing a little bit of a recap on my garden and also my plans coming into these cooler months. It's weird to be introducing myself.
Today's episode brought to you by Tess.
So I'm going to start with the absolute win for me this season. I have talked about it before, but my tomatoes. Absolutely gangbusters. I think a few things, I mean, full sun. It's so important. Like, you know, it's just when I think back to the first ever tomatoes that I put in and all of the fails that, you know, they were too close together, they weren't in the right spot. Like, that was a disaster. And then I've had just an abundance of cherry tomatoes. Fabulous. And I just love it. I love having, like, bowls of cherry tomatoes on the kitchen bench that I'll just pick out, you know, whenever you feel like a snack as well. So it's great. Love it.
It is like the joy of it never ends. No. Like, even yesterday I was in the garden picking tomatoes and I was just like a kid in a candy store.
So good.
So happy. And I'm like, after 10 years of doing this, it never gets old. And like eating them fresh while I am gardening, and then you bring them inside, you make a salad, you cook them down in a pasta sauce.
I had enough tomatoes that I gifted some.
Oh, my God. Is this all off one plant?
Yeah, just off one plant.
That is so incredible.
Isn't it?
One plant.
Just like getting it right, you know?
Yeah. And that's it, right? If you do a few things really well, you're going to have a much better overall result than doing a lot of things badly.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's a good lesson.
Also was, you know, my first year was crap. My second year, I never like pruned it or, and you know, we talked about the monster. And so like actually pruning it this time, I think probably had a big impact as well.
Definitely.
I went to the Collingwood Children's Farm recently. Have you been there?
I have, but not for a very long time.
Their garden is friggin' amazing.
Oh, I love that.
Their tomatoes. So when we're talking about all the different options, they've gone for the option of like you have, you hoist it up to a thing that goes and they look amazing. They en masse. It looks so good. So for anyone in Melbourne, definitely recommend Collingwood Children's Farm just to go and check out the garden.
Just to see the tomatoes being trellised.
Yeah.
So we have a whole episode, in case you guys haven't listened, on your options for trellising tomatoes. So I'd say you probably missed the boat this season. But next time, like get ahead of it.
Yeah.
Get your plaid.
Oh, absolutely. And I should say as well, one of like the very first episodes that we ever did, because we started in March. An autumn. Happy anniversary
it
to
is
us.
It is a 2-year anniversary.
One of the first episodes we did was about harvesting tomatoes. So if you still have your tomato bush in.
Which you should do.
Yeah. Mine's come out now.
Oh, you pulled it out. Oh, then we'll continue talking. Like, we'll get to this, I'm sure.
Well, yes, in the vein of we haven't recorded recently and just like life getting in the way. So it wasn't getting the best attention. So it was kind of a little bit lackluster. And
well, and like we always say, like just call a spade, get the thing out, get something else growing.
And it had done a fabulous job.
And I know I always say this about tomatoes, but if you're listening and you haven't had the kind of success that Tess is talking about, stick to cherry tomatoes. They are so much easier than big tomatoes. So much easier.
Cherry tomatoes are great.
Yeah. And they're delicious. Like that, I prefer a cherry tomato anyway.
A few weeks back, we did an episode on chives, and I told you that I had something in my garden that I thought was a chive.
Could have been a spring onion from memory.
Could have been a spring onion. It's definitely a spring onion.
Right.
So it has flourished since we recorded that episode.
Yeah.
And I've got spring onions, and that's delightful.
Have you been harvesting them and using them?
Yes, I have been.
Cool.
Yeah.
So really, it's a spring onion.
It's a spring onion.
Yeah, fabulous.
And it's great to have spring onions because you know when you get them from like the supermarket or whatever, they always come in a bunch. You never use them all. They always just wilt in the fridge. So I'm really enjoying having spring onions as well because you just got to just chop one off and then Bob's your uncle.
Well, you can pull it out. Oh, actually, here's the thing. If you chop it off, does it grow back?
They haven't yet.
Well, keep us
so I'm
posted.
Just chopping them. Yeah, I'm just chopping away.
I still think this could be a chive.
I don't think it's a chive.
No, it's too fat.
It looks like a spring onion.
Okay.
So, and I was so inspired by the chives that I went and got chives and have put them in their own little pot as well. So
you've got both.
Got both.
We should do an episode on spring onions.
I mean, don't need to have nailed it. No, we should.
I actually have a perennial spring onion.
Oh.
That's not a thing, but I've made a hack to get a perennial spring onion.
Okay.
So
maybe
needs a whole episode. Yeah. Because they are so great to have in the garden, but being an annual, you know, you're going to have to constantly replenish the planting. Yeah. But the way I've got it set up, I don't have to.
So there you go.
Okay. Well, we'll just a little teaser. Keep listening to a future episode, guys.
My parsley that was going phenomenally well, when we last spoke about it, I was like, do I crop rotate them? You said, don't worry about it. So they're back. I've got new parsley back in, which is great. I mean, I love the herbs. Can't say that enough.
Did you grow any basil this year?
Yes, I had basil in a little pot and it's gone to seed now. Is that the right time for it to go to seed or is it a bit early?
No, mine's just started going to seed now. I've been pinching the heads off.
Yeah, okay.
So do that, or if you've left it too late.
No, it's gone. Too late.
No, okay. It's gone.
The other thing that didn't go spectacularly well for me was the beans.
Mm-hmm.
So I need to revisit that episode maybe I didn't have them in the right spot or I didn't get them in the right time. Not sure. I got a few beans out of them, which was lovely, but it just wasn't a phenomenal success.
Are they done now?
Yeah, they're gone.
Okay. I feel like you planted them quite recently, which actually shouldn't be. Like, you can plant beans early summer. Does that sound about right?
It was definitely before Christmas.
You went with the bush beans, right?
Yeah, bush beans.
Ones. Yeah. Do you know I grew plenty of runner beans, like the tall ones that, you know, you need to trellis this year, and I got a really good harvest off them, but I'm tempted to say I like the beans on a bush bean better. This is a slight deviation, but if anyone else agrees with me, let me know. Do you notice there's like a difference between the enjoyment of your beans depending on how they grew?
Yeah. Let us know.
Yeah. So any other troubleshooting on the beans we can try and do? Or
no, I think I need to just have some personal reflection and maybe go back and listen to the episode again and then I'll realize
and see
perhaps
what
I didn't nail.
Okay.
I had edible flowers in the garden and they were a delight.
You had the violets or the violas?
Yep, I did.
And nasturtiums as well?
No nasturtiums. Calendula.
I love the calendula. Yeah, that's a good.
Yeah, and it's just, I mean, brought a lot of joy to me just having those like flourishing.
And did you use them in food?
I didn't use them in food. I just left them there. Nice. Yeah.
I mean, that's however the joy comes.
Yeah.
Are they still in or did you pull them out?
They're out.
Okay. The calendula will happily survive through winter. Actually, so would the violas and the violets.
Oh, I think that we had a few hot days.
Well, that might
And things just like got cooked in.
Both those are actually more suited to a winter garden.
Ah.
They're the two, like nasturtiums, you know, cornflowers are absolutely summer edible flowers.
Yep.
The calendula and the violets are actually better as winter edible flowers.
Okay. I'm going to get some more in because they're so delightful.
Yeah. Well, you should actually because now's a really good time to plant them and then you'll have colour throughout winter. And I did lose a few in those really hot days as well. Yeah.
So hot. The other big news from my garden world is we have like redone the front garden and I've got planter boxes in my front garden, full sun, and I've put irrigation in.
That is such a game changer.
It's huge.
Okay. So now after doing this podcast for 2 years and you and I are talking about gardening for probably three, do you now finally understand what I mean about how important a watering system is?
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Life changer.
You just don't have time. You know what? Because like life got in the way over the last few weeks. Mm. And if you don't water,
You're stuffed.
Yeah. Like things have gone, things have been cooked in summer, and that's it. Like why? Like all the hard work, all the hard work you've done,
and it could be like right before you harvest. Like it could be that you've done all this hard work, you're just primed to collect, and you don't water on a hot day, and that's the end of it.
Yeah.
You are going to be a new woman, and you know the other thing is now you don't have to spend time watering; you can spend time doing other things in the garden that
make 100%.
Like so, you'll get a better harvest and everything else that comes from it.
Mm.
Do you have, because I haven't been to your house since you did this little renovation situation, do you have more space in the front yard for veggies now?
It's definitely more space than just like the grow bags that I had.
Mm.
I don't know how many like pots and things I'm going to put out in the front now.
Oh, yeah, okay. But they won't be in the irrigation system.
No, they won't be in the irrigation.
Mm.
But it's exciting.
So exciting. It's so exciting. If you do put pots out there, I would say get one of those little drippers on spikes, and then you can just put one in each pot. And then you could just have those on the timer too, and it would be like a really easy kind of extra addition.
Because
if you've done half the irrigation but not the other half.
Yeah, then it's annoying.
Because like it hasn't given you any more flexibility really. So we'll come back to that.
Yes.
When you add your pots in, probably in spring, I'd be thinking.
But I think the next thing I need to probably do is do irrigation out
in the back.
Mm.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So I'm excited for this. You know, everything did get a little bit rubbish towards the end of summer for me, but I'm excited for new season, clean slate. Here we go again.
There is something so satisfying about that clean slate approach to the garden. Like in some ways it's kind of a bit sad because when you've just ripped everything out and you're planting, there's like literally nothing to harvest. But at the same time, there's like such possibility there. I love it. I mean, your summer stuff going to shit, for want of a better term. It's probably a little bit earlier than what I would have liked, but at the same time, it might have only been a couple of weeks before you would have put it out anyway. Yeah. So I don't think there's any great loss here.
Yeah.
Really.
The other interesting thing that's happened, so I put in, I got like a mixed greens seed packet, and it had rocket, spinach, and then just like salad greens.
Mm.
And so I put them in like three lines, like trenches.
Yeah.
Sprinkled them in their three different packets. Yeah,
direct sowing.
Direct sowing, yes. Yeah. But like you can see the three lines.
Yeah, yeah.
The rocket has gone gangbusters. Mm. I haven't got any yet action from the other two varieties.
I find rocket, one, grows like an absolute beast. So it doesn't surprise me that it's hit its strides well earlier than everything else.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But having said that, I also find rocket is incredibly successful as a direct sow.
Right.
Whereas something like lettuces are not advised to be a direct sow.
Oh.
They're more suited to be a container grow. So it does always surprise me when companies make these seed mixes, and I have them too, that are like all these things, because I'm thinking like I'm never going to container grow my rocket, but then at the same time I don't necessarily have a lot of success with the other stuff. So you'll get some of it come up, definitely, of course, but I'm not surprised that the rocket is really just dominating the situation right now. Mm.
So that's kind of a bit of a round the houses on how I've gone.
But you've also planted other stuff that we've not talked about.
Oh, so in the garden bed, my new garden bed's in the front, I put sprouting broccoli in.
Your favourite.
My favourite. So I've got four sprouting broccolis. I'm really excited for like growing them in a new space from last year. Am I going to have a tomato situation where they just go like infinitely better than how they went for me last year? Well,
did they not?
They were good.
Yeah, okay, good.
But they weren't like amazing. Phenomenal.
Yeah, okay. Well, I think you've timed it perfectly. I would say now is exactly the time I would be putting in sprouting broccoli.
Mm.
Full sun and fresh soil, you really are gearing up for success.
Yep.
It'll be interesting to see when you're harvesting it. That I'm not sure about. Because you know how I planted my sprouting broccoli in early Jan, as discussed on last week's episode, and what a mess that was. I'm a I reckon in like a week or two, I'm going to be harvesting sprouting broccoli.
Oh, whoa.
So for me, I always plant it now like you have, and then like late winter, early spring have a massive sprouting broccoli harvest.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how this is going to go, being an autumn sprouting broccoli harvest. I think probably I'm going to be in trouble because there's going to be aphids and all manner of things in them or like on the plant that you won't have when yours is ready to harvest. Anyway, we'll see. But I'll be interested to know timing wise for yours.
And then I've just got little lettuces around.
Oh, cool. Did you direct sow those?
No.
Oh, okay. They were seedlings.
I bought seedlings, yeah.
Yeah, okay. And look, how good's that, that you've got like little gaps of space and you've chucked in some lettuces. Yeah. So you're going to add to the system some flowers?
Yes.
And do you have room for anything else?
I do. And things that are on my list are, I had a crack at beetroots and it went pretty well and I'm ready to give it another go. Mm-hmm. So excited for that. I think I'm going to put coriander in as well. You mentioned it on your – and you know how I just love the herbs. Mm. You mentioned it last week and that's given me a little bit of inspiration. So going to add coriander too.
That's the perfect time to be planting coriander.
And then something that's been on our list to do, so we have to do an episode of it on it pretty much ASAP, is Asian greens.
Asian greens, yes. And they are a brilliant winter crop. They're very easy and you can pretty much grow them all year round.
Oh, so, that's great.
I know. Isn't that fun? And another thing that I did flag for your garden, which I really honestly don't think we've ever even said on this podcast, is broad beans, because I know you really like eating them.
Love eating broad beans.
Yeah. I probably wouldn't say they're like a beginner crop, but could be another fun thing. The good thing about broad beans is, and again, it's not going to turn into the broad bean episode, but you can plant broad beans all, I think, like in, say, June, so start of winter, it's not too late to plant broad beans.
Right.
So I'll mention this again closer to the time, but there's not much you can be planting at that time.
Yeah.
So broad beans would be a nice addition. Beetroot, like you said, now is a great time to plant beetroot, and you can still plant beetroot for kind of the next 6 weeks.
Oh, good.
So that's handy for anyone listening. That could be a good crop to add into the rotation. Yeah. And because you've grown it before, it'll be really interesting to see this time, can we do one better?
Mm.
Do you know what variety you grew last time? Just like the stock standard beetroot?
I think just the stock standard.
Are you going to go stock standard again?
Yeah, I think so. The other thing I might try again, and this was a massive fail for me the first time I've done it, so I've not approached it again.
Yes.
I might go garlic.
Oh, yes, of course. Well, now is the perfect time to put it in. Now, we did talk about the possibility of you putting it in a less than full sun spot.
Yeah. Is that possible?
So you can grow garlic in less than full sun, but you will get smaller bulbs.
Right. Okay.
But having said that, if you're not confident in your garlic growing, so you might not want to give it prime time, full sun, it might be interesting just to see what happens, because I know last year or last time you tried it, you didn't even get to the point of having a small bulb.
No.
It was
terrible.
It was well gone before that.
Yeah.
So if you got it to the point of having a bulb on the smaller side, then that would actually be a win.
That'd be exciting. Yeah.
Obviously, if there's something you're busting to put in there. Silver beet is the other thing that you don't have in the garden that could do well in that patch.
Okay.
I feel like you like silver beet, don't you?
Yeah, silver beet.
Yeah, okay, good.
Certainly like it more than kale.
Yeah, I'm remembering now. You're the silver beet fan. I'm the kale fan.
Yeah.
So that could be another one that you could add in the garden at this time.
Love it.
And it will be in there for 2 years.
So good.
If you do it well. You know, back on your lettuce situation, I found endive is a bit of an easier one to grow.
As a direct sow
than a lettuce. It just seems a little bit hardier. I don't know. I've had good success with that. So, and endive is pretty much lettuce. I don't even know, like, technically.
What the difference is.
So this year I've actually put in quite a bit of endive that I've direct sown. So that could be something to think about in the future.
Mm. Oh, and the other thing that we briefly discussed before we started recording is peas. Yeah. And so I've got a spot that is gets quite a lot of the hot afternoon sun.
Mm.
And you said you thought in winter that it'll probably be all right for them.
Yeah. Because peas really don't like really hot sun, but they need full sun, full sun. Mm. So the fact that in winter they're going to get a good dose of sun, but it's not going to be above 25 degrees is going to be brilliant for mm-hmm. them. I put in peas, I direct sowed them probably 5 days ago, and they've already got shooty uppies.
Oh, nice.
So bit of heat, bit of water, and peas are one that I'm very happy to direct sow. And as discussed last week, I'm not a fan of direct sowing generally. So that could be another one. You could just pop a few little peas around the outside of some garden beds or something like that, providing they've got somewhere to go.
Yep.
Mm. For a small garden, this is a very lovely variety of food.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, we'll check back in a couple of months and we'll see what went to plan, what didn't, and what we can chalk up to a learning experience.
And I feel like we've got a bunch of episode ideas from...
We have.
So it's a lot of good stuff coming.
Stay tuned.
Rooting For You is hosted by Elise and Tess, artwork by Lauren Janine. You can find us on Instagram at RootingForYouPod or email rootingforyou@elisealexandra.com. And remember, we are rooting for you.